Well, praise the Lord. That's because of Jesus Christ. It ain't because of something that we done. One day I was at Dion had a recital and he was playing the piano and you got all these people looking at you like, man, you did a good job. And I had to tell him, like, I didn't do that. That was Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Once again, it's good to be at Hope. Like he said, we're from Hope. We make no apologies from being from Hope. Make no apologies by being trained at Hope. Every time I go somewhere, I say, hey, I'm from Hope Baptist Church. I don't care if you like it or not. I say that because you have people that think that, you know what I'm saying, we're the only ones doing it right. And I say, when I was praying and asked God to send somebody to me, he did not send you. Now, y'all laughing, but I'm serious. He did not send you. If he didn't send you, I don't care what your opinion about it is. When I prayed and I asked God, you need to send somebody to believe that book. He sent four people from Hope Baptist Church. It was more than four people, but it was four instances. The first time somebody came, it was Donnie and Rob. So that's two people the first time. And they came and said, don't believe me, believe the book. So that's what attracted me to them. That's what attracts me to. That's what I'm attracted to about the Bible, because it doesn't matter what man says. Now, let me get there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Now, I'm going to preach from Acts chapter 12, but I want to start it off the way he started off. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It is not your power. It's given to you alone. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The Bible and the book of Revelations and it talks about that him and that worship. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And the Bible says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are and were created. You're not here for yourself. You are not here for your good pleasure. You are here for his good pleasure. That's why you're here. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, and I beheld and I heard and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Bible says, now unto him who is able, unto him that is able, it's about him. We are here for him. We are not here for ourselves. And I would say to you that on a Tuesday morning, he's pleased with you because you're here. Somebody somewhere, someplace doing something stupid that they thought was better than this. And they're looking at you like you're a moron. But they got the thing completely turned around. And they're not concerned about him. That's not their thought. They're not concerned about him. And the Bible says he's not just any him. He is able. He has the ability to do exceeding abundantly above Anything that you ask or think. Now, you think, in the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. The things that you think are better for you are not. Your plans for your life and your ideas for your life are not. Now, we're here today and people is hurting. And I dare to say that as they're hurting, they're getting closer to God. In the context of that, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 13, it says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Sometimes you go through tribulations, not for yourself, but for other folk. And that they might glory in it. He says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He thought it was a worthy cause that God would have caused him to go through tribulation, that he might later at a later date be able to help somebody else. So the ideas of why am I going through this is foolishness. You can't see it through God's eyes. You will hear me say it over and over again. If it was up to me, I would be somebody else instead of Anthony Rudolph. If it were up to me, if I had to plan a church, it would have went exactly how I want to. And God couldn't get no glory out of it. You won't see God show up as many times as he shows up. One thing I could tell you, I don't know what you think about your church. Now, I know what I think about this church, but I know what I think about the church that God called me to start. God loves my church. God's for Anchored Hope Baptist Church. He shows up time and time and time again, just to spite me. Not because of me, to spite me, to show you like I'm on the throne. It don't matter what you think. Because you have ideas. I said, you hear me say it at the time. Your ideas out there has nothing to do with up here. The ideas down there is good. But when you got to be up here, they not so good. They don't work. When you sitting right here and the pastor, listen, I'm from Hope Baptist Church. The assistant pastor, the assistant to the assistant, the song leader and all of them, all their ideas up here ain't no good. I'm sorry, Pastor Stash. Now, y'all laughing, but when I see you with that mustache, I bust out laughing. I said, what is that's his personality, all right? That don't mean I have a problem with Pastor Marshall. I love him. I love Hope. I love the people at Hope. But all your ideas when you was the second man, did they work? Did they work? Stop trying to think for God. He doesn't need you to think for him. Just do what he says. The Bible in verse 15 of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in earth is named after God, not you. I just said it. I went to Detroit and I preached at my cousin's funeral. And I had to use the example of my big sister because she said, we the Rudolphs. And I had to tell her the other day, I said, they don't care. There ain't no angels in heaven talking about the Rudolphs. She was offended too. You don't understand. She was offended. She says, I understand what you said, but don't be saying it like that. No, they ain't thinking about the Rudolphs. Everybody in heaven is named after the Lord. Your name comes after the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a part of his family. You're not a part of your family. I don't care who is in your family. I don't care what famous person you have in your family. I don't care. They did not die on the cross. They did not give up their glory in heaven. The angels are not saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty about you or anybody in the world or in your family or my family. The Bible says of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. Said it the other day at church. My experience with God is bigger than your opinion, than the assumption of whatever you think. My experience with God is bigger than your opinion or your assumption. It carries more weight. Let me help you. Your experience with God, the God of heaven, is bigger than my opinion or my assumption about what or anything I think about you or your life. But you have to have the experience with God. You can't shortcut the thing. You have to take it one step at a time. You jump over this. If I try to jump over these steps, I'm going to fall probably. And brother, I'm 50 and I want to be 29 again. I want to be 29 again. You laughing. I'm serious. I'm serious. I want to be 29 again. One of the kids that was in the Sunday school class, I said, Brother Rudolph, how much you benching? And I'm ashamed that I can only bench 275, 295. I want to bench 315 again. My shoulder is like, whatever you want to do, I don't care. I'm not cooperating. That's what my shoulder is saying. And I'm sitting there looking at the weight, and I talk to the weight, and I say, the weight is calling me and all of that, and I'm in the way. Just in the way. It's not working. Now let me show you how God uses Peter in this book. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verses 1, the Bible says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. If it happened then, it's sure to happen now. They're making laws against the church. They're making laws that make you a criminal. They're making laws that make you, you're the funny. Something's wrong with you. You're the cult. Yeah, that's right. But you're not the cult. It's the culture that's the cult. God is not for the culture. I don't care how you was raised. Care what social economic group you was raised in. I don't care what commercial they got about it. I don't care what's the new thing that they're promoting for you. God is against the culture. The culture is against God. You're not the cult. If we're Bible believers here. Do you believe your Bibles today? If you only believe half of it, act like you believe all of it today. The Bible says, now about the time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church because he thought this was a good idea, because he come from that stock. It wasn't just him. It wasn't just his uncle Herod. It wasn't just his grandfather Herod. They thought this was a thing. Let's go mess with some Christians. The Bible says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. The Bible didn't say God miraculously swooped down and saved James from the sword. The Bible says he killed James and God let it happen. And the Bible says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews. Why in the world would God's people be pleased with the torturing of one of the disciples? Dare to say they forgot God. They forgot everything God brought them through. They don't even understand the purpose why they're here. They don't even understand why they're the children of God. Somebody forgot to teach them their history, or some of them just conveniently like, man, we just want to blend in with the world. We don't want to be strange. We don't want to be priests or the priesthood of the believers. We just want to be normal people. You can't be a Christian and be a normal person. It's always going to be some problems. You're always going to open your mouth at the wrong time and insert foot. And it's going, your speech is always going to berate you every single time. It's going to come out. You can't sit there still that long and let them keep talking about Jesus. And somebody, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you're like, oh. Whatever it is, whatever your little thing is, you're going to say something. Are you going to tell them, well, I don't think things are like that. I don't believe it's like that. And they're going to say, well, are you some type of Christian or something? You're going to expose yourself every single time. The Bible says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Because he saw that this thing pleased the Jews, he says, I'm going to take Peter. And guess what God does? He lets them take Peter because of that tribulation. That might help somebody later on. because of these rough spots or the dry, you know, sucking dry, sucking sand, as the brother said last night. But you would, if people would have you think and believe that it's always milk and honey serving the Lord. That's not biblical. It's not biblical. And if you read your Bibles, you'd notice that. And when Peter writes, and we talked about it before, the last time I was here, and the Bible talks about David, it gives the first accounts in the first and first and second Samuel, first and second Kings. It gives the first account of how he did all of these things wrong. But in first and second Chronicles, it does not give the account. That's a picture of God's grace and mercy. God had counted him faithful, just like he has counted you faithful. The world ain't going to never let you forget. They're always going to remind you, especially good family. Going to remind you of what you've done. I remember when you did this. That's what they say in our family. That's Detroit slang. The Bible says, when he proceeded, he saw that it pleased the people. It became a sport to torture and to kill Christians when it pleased the people. The Bible says he proceeded further. Hey, man, we had a good time. Next week, we're going to have an even better time. The only problem was it was a religious holiday. And you know, people in the world, they respect Christmas and Easter. They might even come to church on those days. They might even say a prayer over their food. God is good. God is great. Bless this food that we eat. And whatever garbage they're going to say. But it ain't going to be biblical. The Bible says, and when it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. Now, you think, oh, man, I don't want that type of God that just put me in prison and all of that. Listen, I went to prison, but he went to prison for nothing. He went to prison for nothing. He did nothing wrong but serve the Lord Jesus Christ, which is actually wrong to the world. And delivered him to four quarternoids of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And guess what? I guarantee you, they passed out flyers. They advertised this thing, and all the people that was passing out the flyers, all the people that were advertising this thing, the very person that was going to cut Peter, or do whatever, however they felt they was going to kill Peter, I guarantee you, all of them was in church on Easter. It's part of the Easter crowd. Yeah, it's funny, but guess what? God expects you to be a blessing to them. God expects you to be an example to them. God expects you to witness to them. God expects you to love them. God expects you to be merciful to them. God expects you to be gracious to them. The same way he was to you. And he still is today. Now, the Catholics think this makes him the Pope. And be careful of Christians that want to pope over your life. And I call them Baptist popes. You know what I'm saying? Holy Ghost, spiritual Holy Ghost police. They want to lord over your life. We're in the Laodicean and church age, and people want to lord over your life instead of allowing God to work in your life, allowing the Holy Spirit to go with you. As the brother said, it's so funny that we try to get away from the things of God, and the Spirit of God is with us. You're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. They try to run away from God. Just because you know that you're not pleasing him. They think that his office was called the papacy and it's the Holy See and all of that junk. The only paper that means something is this book, is these words in this book. And if you ain't been enough time in your Bible where you know that this book is real, you have a problem. Brother asked me last night, are you scared of going to jail again? I was like, no, I'm not scared of going to jail. Just send me my Bible. But that's because I already been there. The brother talked about fear. There's other things that I'm afraid of, but that just ain't one of them. But I got a Bible, and I know that if something does happen, I just take my Bible and I read it and let God do what he do. He's still on the throne. People are always trying to lord over your life. Good Christians trying to lord over your life, or they think they're good Christians. They're just trying to undermine authority because man hates authority. Man hates. I'm going to be my own man. I'm not going to let nobody tell me nothing to do. Do nothing. I love when I hear these young dudes say, I'm going to work for myself. I say, you do realize if you work for yourself, you're going to be working for the person that's paying you, right? No, I'll have my own business. I say, it don't work like that. But when you have this ideology to be force fed to you that you're going to be in charge, you get yourself in trouble. The Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So because Peter goes, they didn't give up because, okay, he killed James the first time. And I'm sure that they prayed for James when he killed James, and God did not deliver James. But when Peter went to prison and they put him into prison and he's stuck in there, and I'm sure that he's the Bible says he's handcuffed to these guys. He's stuck to these guys. The Bible says the people in the church made prayer. You know, we live in a day and age where Christians just won't pray for one another anymore as they ought. No detailed prayer, like you want to help somebody, that you want them to grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know, like if you're a missionary, that you overcome loneliness. It is a real thing. You could get out there on the mission field and you could think you're out there by yourself. Brother Matt, am I telling the truth? Brother Matt will tell you, Brother Bernstorff will tell you, that you will get out there and you'll feel like you're by yourself. You'll think that you're by yourself, and God is there the whole time. And sometimes God just allows you to go through some things to see what you're going to do. See if you're going to trust him in spite of what's going on. How much do you trust God today? Are you praying for fellow Christians today? As a church, are we praying for one another? And are we looking to see God do something in the lives of the brethren? The Bible says, as they was praying for him, and it says that when Herod would have brought him forth, and same night Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, the soldiers that was chained to him thought this was a good thing. But the Bible don't say they was woke yet. And I'm sure that it took them forever to go to sleep, because I'm sure Peter was like, he was singing every song about the Lord Jesus Christ he could sing, to the point where they knew the song. I got stupid songs on my head that my mom used to play, that when I go in the restaurant, I was like, oh, this garbage. Got to walk out, because you still remember it. But, you know, when you're from a baby, you start singing these songs. Most my kids know nothing. If they know some songs, that's they went because of me, because I didn't put it on them. But there's some songs that they only know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a blessing when I hear my baby singing and all she can sing is about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. You ain't cheated your kids. They ain't missed nothing. Raising your kids right is not a bad thing. But I submit to you that while they were in here, he's singing these songs, and he done told them, hey, let me tell you how to get saved. Let me tell you about the Mount of Transfiguration, man. I was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Elijah and Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ is up there, and they're like, I wish you'd shut up. Oh, we stuck together. There's nothing you could do. You're going to have to beat me, but I'm going to keep talking to you. I'm sure Peter told him out. I said, and I'm sure one of them said, I'll get saved. Just shut up. And they finally get to sleep. And the angel. angel of the Lord shines and comes in, and light is shining round about. You think that this light should wake them up. But truth be told, the world is in darkness, and you're the amount of light that they're going to see, and they're not waking up. You can be on fire for God, doing everything you wanted, everything you're supposed to do for God, and it's shining all the light you possibly can shine, and they're still in darkness. So don't think it's strange that they didn't wake up. The soldiers are still knocked out. And the Bible says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined from the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Peter was asleep. He didn't work this up till he was tired in him up. And the light of angel shined up, and he said, he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. He's sleepwalking, because if you got chains on you or whatever, and some chains fall off of you, you should be jumping for joy. The Bible says, the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. Peter done got so comfortable. He sleep. He ain't got his clothes on. He wasn't even suspecting to leave. He wasn't even expecting to leave. He got to get his clothes on, get dressed. He got to get ready to go. And the Bible says that he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Sometimes you're going to be serving God. It's going to be like you're sleepwalking. God's going to bless you in such a way and such a mysterious way that you're going to have to come to the end of yourself. No, not like the prodigal son in the pit with the pigs. Not that way. He had to remember, wait a minute, this is stupid. You heard me tell you before, the pig's looking at him. He's looking at the pig, and the pig like, you come the wrong way, baby. She's down here with us. Thought we was an abomination to you. You got to eat my leftovers. And you know, he was embarrassed, like, oh, my goodness. And then the light came on. And he says, man, in my father's house, the servants is better. The servants is doing better. Do you understand that in God's house, you're doing better than anybody in the world? The kings, these folk with all their riches and their nice cars and all of that, you're doing way better than them. You're in the Father's house today, this morning, on a Tuesday morning. And he's pleased with you. The Bible says, now I know of a surety. He says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel hearkened named Rhoda. Now they're praying for him. And when he get to the gate, she gets so excited. She forget to open the gate and she run to tell everybody, but they're praying. You know what? That's what you do, Christian. You pray and ask God to answer the prayer. Then when he answered the prayer, you act like, wait a minute, that's not, wait, is you supposed to do that? I'm supposed to get this. Is this supposed to happen? And you prayed for it. Peter's been through so many things in this book. We like to talk about Peter and getting out of the boat. Peter is the one that got out of the boat. You understand? He's the one that walked on the water. You have not got out the boat. You have not walked on the water. So stop talking about him in demeaning fashion, because you can't carry his coat. Yeah, he's a man of like passions and all of that stuff, but you not in his category. All right. Listen, he would say something to the Lord. Yeah, he forgot. He denied the Lord. But he had enough sense to open his mouth for the Lord. And let me show you one thing before we start. Take your Bibles to 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. We always talk about first mention in the Bible, second mention, further mention in the Bible, and final mention in the Bible. But look at Peter. Now, this is what Peter, these things happened in Acts chapter 12 as God was transitioning away from the Jews to the Gentile, as God was transitioning from the synagogue to the church, as God was transitioning from the Sabbath day to the first day of the month, as God was transitioning from Peter to Paul, the apostles of the apostle to the Jews to the apostle to the Gentiles. And understand that the Jews wanted to see Peter die. He was their apostle. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He put Galatia in there, and that's where Paul withstood him to the face. These are places Peter went. He ain't the Pope. He's not lording over your salvation. And he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. When he first write his first book, he's talking about himself. He said, I'm the apostle of Jesus Christ. Hold your place. Go take two pages and go to 2 Peter. Something happens. The first one, he says, Peter. His surname ain't in there. The second time, he puts Simon Peter. He done come down some levels. He done been through something with the Lord. And he says, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know what you, as Christians, you need to figure out? Instead of letting people lord over your life, you need to figure out that you are a servant. This thing ain't about you. This thing doesn't revolve around you. You're not the middle of the universe. You're not the apple of God's eye. God's not looking down like, oh, look at my faithful servant. Oh, so wonderful. And your eyes sparkling and he's so excited because of you. That's not what's happening. There's some graduation there. He says, to them that have obtained. In 2 Peter, it says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles back to 1 Peter. Verse 2, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God and the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Listen, his whole mood didn't change. His whole mood didn't change. You know what has to happen? God has to do something in your life. I'm not talking about just getting saved. I'm talking about after you get saved, after you walk with the Lord a while. He has to bring you down. That humiliation. Listen, nobody wants to be humiliated because it's like a grinder. And God just, you know who's controlling the grinder? God's controlling the grinder. Now, you determine how much grinding is going to be grinded, how much you're going to be grinded. But he's controlling the grinder. Your moans and groans and whimpers and all of that doesn't change nothing. It's whether you're going to humble yourself or not. Verse 3, he says, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Go back to 2 Peter. Second John, what's wrong with you? 2 Peter in verse 3 says, according to his divine power, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. His whole life, his whole thought pattern has changed. Christian, you should be growing in the grace and knowledge of wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should not be the same Christian you were 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 20 years ago. You should be growing. And there should be some graciousness coming with that. There should be some long suffering coming with that. There should be some patience coming with that. One thing I know about planting church, you're going to have to learn to be patient. You're going to help somebody, you're going to have to learn to be patient. It's just the truth. I know you think, well, see, when I got saved, I got in and I was on fire for God. And the fire has never went out. you're lying. And that's a figment of your imagination. Nobody, you don't even agree with it. But when you serve God, God's going to be, he's going to be getting to do something. His attitude had changed and his actuality had changed. At first, his attitude was, I just got a new name. Call me by my new name. It's like me trying to, listen, you go to Detroit with me, right? A Mark Peace went to Detroit with me, and he told my auntie, he says, Anthony. And she said, what? That boy named Jerome around here. Don't call him that around here. And, you know, I liked them calling me Anthony because I wanted Jerome to be there. But guess what? He's still there. And you got to fight him every day. But his attitude in the first when he had the attitude, I got a new name, call me by my new name, let the past be the past. You know how people always say they done all this debauchery. Let the past be the past. That's what they say. I don't want to talk about none of that stuff anymore. Or, you know, the people say only new friends. I love when they say that. Only new friends. Does that mean your old friends that you really ain't good at picking friends? When you hear people say only new friends, oh, that's good. That means you ain't good. You ain't good at picking friends then. So you know what that means. The new friends going to be garbage too. That's his idea. I only got new friends and I cut them. And, you know, I love when people say I cut them all off. No, you just burned all the bridges up going across and leaving them. You ain't cut nobody off. Or like when people say I delete you, I get mad at somebody who's like, I delete them off my page. I said, when you think you got some type of power, they don't want to be bothered with you in the first place. They made a mistake, my friend, in you. Peter had that, I'm the big dog, I'm the big cheese, I'm the number one. I'm the boss. After you got saved, because I'm the apostle to the Jews. But after you come to this thing, he realized that actuality, he had two natures. Yeah, he had a new name, but it was a gift. It was nothing to strangle people with. It was a gift. He was listening. I'm here. I'm a newborn, but I'm here to create more newborns. And there's some necessities. People have to come behind you. When you're witnessing to somebody, keep that in mind. When you're trying to be a blessing to somebody, keep that in mind. God may only wanted you to walk 2 furlongs with him. He may not wanted you to go all 20 furlongs with him. So allow this person that's got to walk the next 2 furlongs to get a gracious path in there and to help. There's some necessities. And there's some needs. There's some needs. The Spirit is needed in this generation. Remember the last time I was here, if you're going to have a spirit as church, it needs to be led by the Spirit. You need the Spirit. You need the presence of God to go with you wherever you go. If you're going to accomplish anything for the Lord, the Spirit is needed. You don't need nobody to pope or, you know, somebody like Peter. We're going to do whatever Peter says. No, you better get in your Bible and you better believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you ask, it's just beyond anything you could think or imagine. We need to get in the business of worshiping him. And once you worship him, it'll humble you. But you don't forget where you came from. All right. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just like to thank you and praise you for all that you're doing for us, in us, and through us. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves and not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. But Lord, help us to continue to give you the glory and worship you in truth and in spirit and honor you and be mindful that you're the one that's holy. You're the one that has the virtue. You're the one that's pure. and we're just vessels. Now, Lord, we could be vessels of honor or dishonor, but Lord, help us to be mindful that we're vessels and that our job is to glorify you. We need you. You do not need us. Now, Lord, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.